Mike keeps talking about things that he needs to look at. There's what I've been doing, so I've got a few things to look at. It's hard to follow Barnabas Spanky in a study, I'll tell you that, because what he lays forth is really, really tough to follow. But nevertheless, I promised the Lord years ago that if he would help me, I would do my best to try to put the word forth. And I promised him also if he'd let me live a longer life that I would do it as long as I was here. And I'm the oldest McCurry that you've ever seen. Because most of them didn't make it till they were 75. And I'm a little beyond that. Before we get started, bow with me, and we'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you so much for the opportunity to open the bread of life, to open this word that you have left with us, Lord, that it, and as it jumps out to us from each of these pages, that we realize and understand that the gift that you presented to mankind in this world is the greatest thing that could have ever happened. And that His blood, Christ's blood, was given for us and given in a way that we could not for ourselves give. And Lord, that the resurrection that followed that was a glorious event like none other ever. And Lord, we thank you for all this. We realize, Lord, as we get involved and take forth with it, that it be that that we need to see and to understand this hour. And Lord, you know my heart, and I have on my heart words for some of my family that needs your love and your grace. And my prayer today is that you might extend that grace unto those, and that you would guide and bless as you always do. Watch over us and be with us in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
For 3 years, I did a study on one word. Maybe a little longer than 3 years. But anyway, to make a long story short, the Lord laid it on my heart to do a study on the word walk. And in the Old Testament especially, that was the mode of transportation for most people was walking. Either that or riding on an animal or in some kind of a conveyance that was not comfortable, to say the least. But there's two ways that you can go when you look at the word walk in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew. And it was either halak or yolak. Now, halak is the way that man wants to walk on his own, without God. And we all generally start out that way, walking the way we hope that we, the way that we just want to go. And then there is another word, yolak, and that is to go the way that God directs you to go. And there's a big difference in that. And in that difference is like when the brother that used to do the little thing in the back of Oscar's paper.
Don't tell.
Yeah, I can't remember his name now, but he had a little, he put a little square thing in there and drew a picture in it. And I always remember one that he did where there was a man standing at the forks of the road. And he had to make a decision to go one way or the other. And that's kind of the way it is with Yolak and Holak. And then I look at the same word in, or the same idea in the New Testament. And I kind of see it in Paul's view as being the old man or the new man. And we always have the old man with us. We can't say that we don't, because we have all sinned and come short. Amen. And without God's help, we would need help. You know what S-I-N means? That is sin. But I try to look at it with the acronym of using the letters another way. But that's saints in need. Because we need the knowledge, we need the understanding, and we need Christ in our life each and every day. And that goes back to the new man. We need the new man. And we need to put the old man away, as Paul says, and get involved with the new man. And I've listened to all these guys speak, and started off with Brother Tony. And he opened up the Word, and he was going to everything that I was going to say. That happens a lot. But I told him, I guess I'd have to do like Paul Harvey used to say, maybe I can give you the rest of the story. I'm not sure. But I love to do a lot of words. Thoughts and studies, and that's the reason I really got into the deal with the word walk. And I enjoy that so much, and we tried to cover most all of them. I don't know where we did or not, but I picked another word today, and then I picked another word today, and then I picked one more word today. And I don't know if you realize how well it goes together or not. I'm not sure that I can explain it, but I'll try. Three words that I want to look at just a little bit, and I can't do it in 45 minutes. I couldn't do it in 10 studies, I don't guess. But we'll get involved a little bit. The three words that I want to look at today is light and darkness. And the third one is feet. Oh, I saw a few heads. What? Feet. To me, it's something that kind of jumped out at me. You know, when we look at 2 Timothy 3:16, when we open that word up to us, you know, we realize there's a lot more there than maybe we see at times. And a lot of times we have to put these things together to show ourselves approved unto God to be a workman, not ashamed of where we stand. And allowing the new man to take over the old man. And it gives me some thought, and I guess my thought process, because I've got a high school education and I'm proud of that, but I graduated from the School of Hard Knocks. And so I'm proud of that too. But as I got to looking at this, the first one is light. It shows up in Scripture 267 times, both in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, 39 times, different words, given its meaning in the Old Testament, 16 times. I read that wrong. I can't read my own writing. 16 ways in the Hebrew and 13 ways in the Greek. So, light is an important factor in our lives, whether we know it or not. And the second one, of course, is darkness. Darkness shows up 158 times in both the Old and New Testament. 11 different words gives it meaning. 7 ways in the Hebrew and 4 ways in the Greek. And the first occurrence is Genesis 1-2. And the last occurrence is Revelation 16:10. And the third time, and the third one is feet. And as little as you think about it, feet is used 251 times, both in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. 7 different words to give it meaning, and 5 different ways in the Hebrews, 2 different ways in the Greek. And the first occurrence is in Genesis 18:4. And the last one is in Revelation 12:8. And I said all this to try to make it fit together. And where it really fits is in the beginning. So let's turn to Genesis 1. Turn with me to Genesis 1. I'm not going to tell you anything you probably don't know. But we're going to read some scripture and we're going to see if we can make some meaning out of the words that I've chosen. It said, in the beginning, God. And we're talking here about the world that then was in 2 Peter 3. He said he created the heavens and the earth. He mentions earth there, and then he says, and the earth. You see that in verse 2? You know, that's a figure of speech. If you have one thing that ends with one, and you have the next verse that starts with the same word, basically, then there is a word for that in the figures of speech, and it's very important. It said that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, the earth of old, or the earth that then was, you know, it has its fossils and its remains. And so, we need to deal with that a little bit, but it says that the earth was without form. Void and darkness. So here, we don't get into the second verse of God's word till we find the word darkness. We find the word darkness before we find the word light. And the word darkness has several different meanings also, but it also means wickedness. So somewhere, when we find that God is creating or recreating again, that the earth was tohu and bohu, and darkness was there. Why darkness? Wickedness. If you look at darkness, the main word in darkness is wickedness. It has to do with the things that Satan is involved in. It is wickedness. It is wickedness. world before that time, we don't really know. God didn't pull the curtain back very much to show us what was going on. But the all-knowing God knew that wickedness was there. When he brought the earth up out of the water, wickedness was there, and it was going to be there. In this new creation that he was going to establish was going to be under a test. And so we have darkness. It was upon the face of the deep. But then, and it said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When God's Spirit moves, when God's Spirit works, God's Spirit is light. There is no darkness in God. There is no darkness in His Son. And there is no shadow. When His Son came to earth and became man and become kin of ours through Mary, He cast no shadow. The only time that you can find somebody that has a shadow situation was man when he was under the auspices of God, that he was like being under the wings, being like a chicken under the wings of a hen. Except Peter. And the Word tells us that when Peter was doing his healings, that people were bringing, the kin were bringing people and putting them on the streets of Jerusalem, and when Peter's shadow overshadowed them, they would become well. They would be healed. And that was a demonstration for us. It was a demonstration of the power of God. Amen. In its purest form. But Peter was not God. And he was not the Son of God. But when the Son of God came, he cast no shadow. There was no wickedness in him, no sin in him. You see, when he went to the cross and he gave that life and he gave up that lifeblood, he had to get that sin from somewhere because it was not in him. Although he was placed as a one single cell in the womb of Mary to become your kin and my kin. But in that one single cell, the power of that one single cell overcame the sin that Mary inherited from Adam. Have you ever thought about that? Now, when God's beginning to do this recreation situation here, He knows about sin, and He knows the one that brought it, and He knows the one that wanted the place of His Son. And He says, I will, several times. But God says, no, you won't. So you see, the one that come had to take sin from somewhere in order to die. Because He had made the arrangement with the Father in the throne area of God, somewhere in some aeons far back beyond, and the agreement was made between the Father and the Son. that he would come and do this even before he ever created man. Even before he ever created the earth. We just read it. A couple of you just read it in Ephesians. In Ephesians 1. So you see, he had the plan down. He knew about that. So we're dealing with someone that knows all. Some God knows all. And so in that situation, he spoke that the Spirit of God would move upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. Where did the light come from? It came from the Word. Who was the Word? John says that Christ was the Word. Amen. And that Christ was the light.
Amen.
That's pretty simple. I can understand that. But a lot of people can't understand that. Even traditionalists can't understand that quite often. So the light that was ordered to overcome this darkness, to overcome this wickedness, was set in place even before creation was ever made. And also the fact that the Son would come and do the work for the Father to reconcile those back to himself, and could do it by the blood, not of goats and heifers and turtle doves and all this other stuff, but by the blood of his Son,
amen,
our kinsman redeemer.
Amen.
That's pretty simple. That's not too hard for me to understand. He said, God saw the light and that it was good. And good there, beautiful. There's only one day there that God didn't say things was good, and that was the second day. But there was actually not much created the second day. There was division made. You know what division is? When you get right down to it, division is enmity. It's enmity between two different things. And it says, it talks about that in Genesis 2. About that God's going to put enmity between Satan and what he did and what he has created. With the heel, oh, foot again. How important is that? With the heel and the head. So the damage is going to be to Satan, to the head, but to Christ, it would be the heel. Feet, parts of the feet, heel. Got to be a connection there. So there was light. God called light, called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So God's Word was the light. God's Son was also the light. He was the light. Then we get to the second day. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. That's what he did. He just did some dividing of what was already here. He's dividing waters from waters. Some waters are the deep. Some waters, we're in the bubble, friends. As far as you could ever think you could go, it's out there. Water. And then there's water here on the earth. Some of it he calls seas. And the seas are salty. Have you ever wondered why the water in the seas are salty? What do you do when you want to preserve or cure something? You put a little salt in it. What if there's something in that water that he needs to hold there? Does that happen to any? We might overthink about that too sometimes, you know. But you have all this water running from the streams from all of the earth into the ocean, but yet the ocean stays salt. He's got something in that darkness that he's trying to keep there, hasn't he? You think so? Could be. That was the second day. See, God didn't say that was good. And then he said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear, and it was so. So we have the rain. Generally speaking, I think, in my view, it probably was a tropical rain around the earth. It's to where man could live, thrive, and get everything that God had made, because he had basically was going to give him dominion. Because dominion was coming down the road. How could Noah get all these animals in the boat if he wasn't on a ring of land, if it didn't go everywhere around the earth? Oh, yeah. Not too hard to figure that out either, is it? Not when you let the Spirit work through these words. He called the dry land earth, and he gathered together the waters. He called seas the salt of the earth is in the sea. And God saw that it was good. Third day. They're going to be. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, and his seed is in itself in the earth. And it was so. Ever how long that the earth had been in the deep, it still had seed that would germinate. More, the power of God is great, isn't it? Amen. No telling how old this stuff was or how long it had been in the deep. We don't really know what had happened aeons before this. But we run down to the gas station. We jerk the nozzle out of the little thing. We put the thing in our cars and we call it fossil fuel. How old is it? We don't know. We don't know. But when God told Hagar's son that he was going to make princes out of his nation, and when he put him forth out in the desert, they got the biggest portion of the oil that was on the earth. And so sometimes when we look in the Word of God and we see oil, we're not really talking about olive oil necessarily, because it took a long, long time for man to discover that that was in the ground and that he could use it for his purpose. And we're still finding out things that God has put here for us that we can use. That's discovery too, you know. Sometimes it can get to be a mystery also. But the herbs, and he said the earth brought forth grass and the trees and he saw it was good, and then the evening and the morning were the third day. But we get down to the fourth day. This is what we, most of the time, concern ourselves with when we talk about light. And God said, let there be light, the firmament of the heavens, to divide the day from the night, and let there be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. And man has come up with all kinds of tricks and things and ways to figure out where we are and how many days and how many hours and things is supposed to be in a year, that things would return back to the same things. And even the Jews had two different calendars, at least. Maybe more than that. But they had a religious calendar, so to speak, and they had one on law. And it's in the Strong's. You can find it in the back of the Strong's. And a lot of times they've had to add days and some, you know, different things. But I can see a problem when we go to talking about years and when the years was actually right or whatever, because there's a lot of confusion when you get involved in the scripture with that too. But it says, God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let there be for signs, for seasons, days and years, and let there be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. And in the stars, God put his plan and purpose for the ages. Oscar Baker did a slide presentation and a deal on the Maseroth, the things that were in the heavens. And I think we've got enough now maybe to put that together. I talked to Ronnie about that a little bit and make a slide presentation. And it would be great if this group could see that sometime. And I've got the slides. They're not mine, but I've got them borrowed. But I think we can. We've got them where we can use them, hopefully. But the stars, it says, where'd I get to?
117.
17. And God set them in the firmament for the heavens to give life on the earth, to rule the day over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So we went through 4 days here. We got three goods or three beautifuls, because that's what the word good translates to, I think, in the Hebrew, that it's beautiful. So, and then one was the division. And, you know, we think that man comes up with all this stuff out of his own mind and out of his own creation. But our system of counting, our adding and subtraction, multiplication and division, all comes from God. So here, you know, we've been talking about division. And he don't go very far in here to when he creates man, he tells man to multiply. And then when he gets on a little further down, when man starts multiplying, they have a little problem over there and they start subtracting because one of them got killed. And so you see, it's there. And sometimes we look, we read, we see things that we've got it here, but we really don't give thought to it and to how it's put together and how it goes. Let's go to Psalms 8 for a minute. What time did I start?
You got about 8 minutes.
You got 8 minutes?
10 minutes.
Oh, we are. We ain't going to get that work. Psalms 8.
Sound like Larry.
In Psalms 8, Psalms, the first part of Psalms is divided up. It deals with stuff in Psalms 1 through Psalms 8, and then Psalms 9 through Psalms 15. And then it goes on to another section there, but it says this. 8:1 says a Psalm of David, and it says, O Lord, or O Jehovah, our Lord Adon, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. We've talked about that a little bit, where God has established his plan and purpose in the heavens, and Satan has destroyed that for us in a great sense, because there's not much understood about that or thought about that anymore, because tradition has taken it over completely. And he says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou adorned strength. He says, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens and the works of thy fingers, thy moon and stars, which thou hast ordained. And then there's two questions here. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. We know who he's talking about, and he says, and thou hast put all things under his feet. So here is something that kind of jumps out at me anyway. It talks about all the sheep and the oxen, and yea, the beautiful things of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, talking about dominion and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. And it goes back to the thing with the earth thing in verse 1 and 2. It says again, O Lord, O Jehovah, our Lord, our owner, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. Amen. And it says to the chief musician, upon Moth Laban. And I looked at Moth Laban a little bit. And that is a relationship or relating to the death of Goliath, when David killed Goliath. Because he's talking up there about his enemies, and the avenger of the enemies was David. Of that enemy was David. He went down to the brook, picked up those stones, and he picked up those stones to kill the enemy. He didn't need but one stone. But Solomon says, and what I've taken up lately, he said, you know, there's a time to cast away the stones. Well, he got enough stones to kill Goliath, all his family. And he only needed one, so he could cast the others away. He didn't need them. That is the power of God, where the stone was placed in a device made by man to kill something that was part man and part angelic. And so, what Satan started, let's go back to Genesis 3, and I needed to write this down a little better than I did. But in Genesis 3, I want to go back there for just a minute. And he talks about the serpent that was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the questions came from the subtle one. It said, yea, hath God said. And then the answer that she gave was partially true, and then she added some to that. But I wrote in the margin of my Bible that the test here that God, before, when he created man, and we just read about things that he restarted before he ever got to man, but you only get to the third chapter of Genesis before you find out that man was placed into a test. And that kind of goes back to the old man and the new man. Even at that point, and it goes back to the heel of the head bruising, the enmity there. So all this kind of bears down on me as being something of that. But what the test that was started there was completed by the Lord, because I don't have the time, it was completed by the Lord Jesus Christ, because everything, all the wickedness, all of the things that Satan started in this recreation of God was eventually going to be placed under the feet of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they were placed under those feet, that is the only shadow that the Son had to deal with, and he dealt with it in its entirety, to where when everything was taken care of, all things were done, all the sin was eradicated, all that was placed under the feet of Christ. And when all that was placed under his feet, then he turned what he had acquired and accumulated for his Father, then he turned all that over to the Father in completeness again, like it was supposed to be in the beginning.
Amen.
And so I guess if you want the rest of the story, and I meant to get a lot more done. I wanted to get, this was just something that really blew my mind. It just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger as it went. But I guess that's the rest of the story. That Christ is going to put under his feet. He is going to do away. He is going to trod down and to destroy all that Satan had accomplished. And then Satan is going to be destroyed in the way of it. And look at the note for one more thing. And I will not go there. But look at Revelations 22:5 in the Companion Bible, and look at the note there. And you will see your hope by one of these men that did the notes there. You're going to have at the appearing your hope and my hope. It's Christ. We will be with Christ for that 1,000 years in that out resurrection. And then when all things are given to the Father, then we're going to be with the Father forever. Forever. And that's what he did through his Son for you and for me. And look at all the things that he went through and all the things that had to be done for all these things to work out in the way that God's plan and purpose was meant to be done. And he wrote it in the stock. And so we can't dispute that.
Amen.
Thank you so much.